Welcome back, folks. One thing that really matters, population size. And here to talk to us about that is Tim Slack, professor of sociology. Tim, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Newell. Thanks for having me on.
And that's at LSU. I forgot the important part of that. But Tim, thank you so much for joining us. So, Tim, I saw this article, in NOLA.com about our population size in Louisiana. And I was really struck by how many, and you talked about how many of these smaller towns are really being impacted more than some of the urban centers. But they're equally as important as the others, right?
Well, absolutely. I mean, we're seeing a lot of change across the communities in our state, and that has, big implications for all sorts of things, including, the provision of services and tax bases and so on. So, if we look at this most recent data that I was talking about in the article that you referenced, I mean, the headline trend is that our major cities are losing population, while smaller suburban and exurban communities within metropolitan areas are seeing population growth.
Right. But the more rural areas are shrinking at an incredibly fast rate as well, right?
That is true. That is true. I mean, the biggest losses that in percentage terms that we're seeing are small towns in the Delta, in the northeastern portion of our state. But we got to be a little bit careful about some of those population estimate numbers, because the way the Census Bureau does the estimates, you want to be really cautious with interpreting numbers on populations below 10,000.
Right. So we should always have our eye on in-migration versus out-migration. We should always have our eye on the socioeconomic factors behind that as well. What do you see that's happening here? Have people moving around the state but staying intrastate, or is it some of the population loss that we're having both intrastate as well as moving outside the state?
It's a combination of both. So what we're seeing within the state is, as I said before, our most populous cities are losing population. So between 2020 and 2025, that group was led by the city of New Orleans, which has lost over 21,000 people. But three of our top 10 saw gains, and those were Bossier City, St. George, and Lafayette. Lafayette led the group with a gain of nearly 2,000 people. The places where we're seeing the greatest growth, though, are in kind of smaller communities that are nearby to metros. So if we look at, for example, let's see here. So if we look at the 10 communities with the greatest absolute growth over the last 5 years, only two of those are what we would call principal cities. Those are the economic hubs of metros, a Baton Rouge and the Baton Rouge metro, or a New Orleans and the New Orleans metro, and so on. Only two are principal cities, and those are Hammond and Lafayette, respectively. The rest of the places that we're seeing the big growth are smaller communities, primarily in the Lafayette and Baton Rouge metros, and these include places like Youngsville outside of Lafayette or Gonzales outside of Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
In terms of state trends, one of the things that we're dealing with in this state and have been dealing with for quite some time, really with the exception of about a 10-year period post-Katrina, is that we have consistent out-migration from our state. That is, we have more people, what we call negative net migration, that is, more people moving out of our state than are moving in. So over the last 5 years, we've had about 50,000, So statewide since 2020, we've lost about 40,000 people. We've had about 50,000 more people move out of state than in, but we've had 10,000 more births than deaths over the period. The two major things that change populations are migration and then what we call natural change, which is the difference between the number of births and the number of deaths.
And so if we were having this conversation in to look into your crystal ball in 2030, we're in 2026, 4 years from today, we're looking at 2030. With these trends, do we see where there's any significant disruptors headed our way where that would alter these trends? And what would we find? What do you suspect we will find in 2030?
I mean, I don't see anything radically shifting these trends in between now and 2030, to be honest with you. I think one disruption is, obviously we've been having a very difficult time in our state coming up with congressional maps, right? And those are going to need to be reevaluated once again come 2030 because the population is shifting and changing. One disruptor that we always have to keep in mind is if we have any kind of catastrophic disaster along our coast. About half of our state's population, over 50%, lives in the coastal zone. Okay, so that is a vulnerability, and obviously, if people sometimes people sort of hop, kind of leapfrog mm-hmm. inland, right? And sometimes people pick up and make a much bigger move. So I think, that's something that we have to keep an eye on. But like you said earlier, I mean, the other thing that we need to keep an eye on is that when you look at the places where we're really consistently losing population, those are more in the northern half of the state. North Louisiana is consistently losing population. Most of our population in Louisiana is on the I-10 and 12 corridor. I mean, that's where our people are.
I spent some time yesterday talking with Michael Heck and other business leaders about a number of the projects that are going on around the state. For the first time in a long time, we have major projects going on in almost every parish. I mean, it's kind of a unique thing that's going on. And I'm curious, do you see that? Obviously, it's going to help to some extent, but we don't really can't get our finger on it until probably what? Post completion of these projects, 3 years, 5 years?
Yeah, that's what I would think. I mean, obviously there's when you're talking about some of the big industrial projects that have been announced, right? There's yes, going to be a big boom in construction jobs for a time, and some of those will be filled by local folks and some of those will be filled by more migratory tradespeople. The question I think is once these things are up and running, how many permanent jobs are being created, and can that create a pull? When it comes, the way to think about migration is that people react to pushes and pulls. So there are some factors, jobs, good economic opportunity, affordable housing, quality public schools, those things pull people towards a place. Right. And then there are mm-hmm. other things that push us away. Right. And so those can be things like a lack of affordability, a lack of jobs, concerns about
a hurricane,
public safety, a hurricane. Yeah.
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 And that's, I guess, for us, I mean, have you looked back historically to see how much of it, hurricane is a big risk factor, right? I mean, and how much of that is actually really influence where we find ourselves today?
Yeah, to a degree. So I mean, I've looked back over time at parish level population trends, and there's no doubt that, I mean, you could see the major changes after Hurricane Katrina, right? I mean, we lost a significant share of our population for a time. And then for the about 10 years following that, we actually had a period of in-migration, right, where we were, or what we call positive net migration, where we have more in-migrants than out. And, of course, that was people that were coming in to do rebuilding or coming in to work on recovery efforts, but also people coming back. What the data seems to show is that that period really played out from basically 06 to, you know, 2014, 2015. And then we sort of reverted back to our older pattern of primarily exporting our people. And one of the things that I always tell, that I always talk to my students about that I think is important is that, you know, we talk about many of the things that we export from the state, you know, in particular talk about oil and gas exports, but the most important the most important thing that we consistently export is our people, especially our educated young people. And that's what I think as a state, we need to do a better job at retaining folks, and then also creating conditions that recruit new ones in.
We were having technical difficulties earlier this morning, and we went off air, and one of my first guests was going to be Steve Malloy from the National Center for Public Policy Research, and we were going to talk about this phenomenon with some of these major tech companies and their heavy reliance on the H-1B visa program, you know, bringing foreigners in for these highly technical jobs and so forth. And there's a move afoot by a bunch of stockholders and companies to oppose this heavy reliance on H-1B visas because of that very reason that you just talked about. They get a lot of consideration from local government, state government. They locate a facility here, and you know there should be a stronger demand to create that lure that you talk about having these jobs, you know, that pull to have these jobs. Have you followed that phenomenon at all?
I mean, I'm aware of it. I haven't followed it that closely. I mean, it seems to me that what we need is, you know, a balanced approach that makes sure that we're not structuring immigration in a way that displaces working people in our country, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, to the degree that we have, you know, gaps in our own labor force, right, we don't want to stifle economic growth that can help to gin up more right. economic activity, which is good for everybody. So there's a balance somewhere there, but I'm not sure I'm qualified to say quite where it is.
Yeah, it's just kind of interesting. I mean, because we have a lot of things going on with these similar type of tech projects going on right now. And that's why I wanted to have him on, you know, to talk more about that and this heavy reliance on this H-1B visa program. It's kind of dormant to some extent right now. And obviously, I guess that's hurting kind of population growth numbers too, right?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that actually had been helping the population numbers for a few years in our state was international migrants. But we are seeing, you know, obviously that tap is not turned off, but it's been it's closer to close than it was a few years ago.
Yeah. And that'll be interesting to see what the
take. And that certainly has implications for all kind of industries. I mean, the other one that I was hearing about on the news this morning was just the difficulty that crawfish farmers are having with people, sure. Especially the processing.
Yeah. Now, there's no doubt that there needs to be a robust legal immigration process. It's just I don't know why we have so much difficulty maintaining a legal immigration process to keep it alive and well, as opposed to, you know, being stuck on stuck relative to illegal migration to this country. It's interesting that, again, as you pointed out, there's got to be that healthy balance, because you want to make sure that you're always moving the economic needle in a positive direction, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, the way I see it is that it's exactly what you just said, and the issue I think that we've been having in our country is that we're swinging way to one direction on the pendulum and then way the other way, right? Without just saying how do we center economic growth and the well-being of working people in this country. And I think if we could make those things the focus, we could get to a place that is a little more stable.
Well, that's where that filthy, ugly word compromise comes into place, right? it's amazing how that has become such a nasty thing, right? I mean, it's like, it drives me crazy. It drives you crazy as a sociologist as well, right?
Yes.
Absolutely. Tim Slack, thank you so much for joining us. Truly appreciate your time, your insight, and have a great weekend. Tim's a professor of sociology at LSU. Thank you, sir.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you.
We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.